Good morning, everyone. It's a real pleasure to be sharing in worship with you for the first time. I'm from Shefford, just in case you were wondering where I sort of appeared from. I was a teacher. I retired 2.5 years ago. Probably the only other thing you need to know about me is I'm a Sheffield United supporter. As many of you probably do, I go to a Lent study group every year. And normally I go out of a sense of duty. But this year I have gone with an extra spring in my step and an extra burst of enthusiasm because we have been studying a course based on one of my favourite films from the last 2 or 3 years, and that is Les Miserables. Has anyone seen it? Yes, you'll probably know what I'm talking about. The idea is we follow each week one of the characters in the film and we see film clips. That's the really good bit. And then we study Bible passages that are linked and we discuss issues that are arising. The main character is someone called Jean Valjean. And at the beginning of the film, he is in a desperate situation. An apparently hopeless situation. He's being punished for years of hard labour just for stealing a loaf of bread. And even when he's released on parole, that makes very little difference because as he finds as he tries to make his way in life, he's shunned. He's even stoned by children. He's homeless and he's destitute. Jean Valjean represents a sad truth about what it means to be human. A truth that we also see in our two Bible readings today. And that truth is that people can easily find themselves living through bleak situations. Situations where they feel overwhelmed by despair and they feel everything is hopeless. And certainly they're experiencing anything but the life in all its fullness that God wishes for us. That rather odd reading from Ezekiel, I don't know when you read it, but I always start to sing in my head. Don't worry, I'm not going to do it now, but I do. In that reading from Ezekiel, the dry bones stand for the way the people of Israel are feeling in exile, hopeless and cut off from God. And then in the reading from John, we have the grief of sisters, of friends and a community at the loss of someone very close. So where is the good news of God in these bleak situations? Put simply, it is in the love of God as shown in Jesus. The raising of Lazarus is the last of 7 signs in John, the first being the turning of water into wine at the wedding in Cana. And they point to the truth about God as we see it in Jesus. And I'd like to offer you just 3 short thoughts I had when I reflected on the reading. And the first thought is sparked by verse 43, where Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out." It's a very simple thing, and it's an obvious thing to say, but Jesus uses Lazarus's name. And I find that very encouraging. If I go back to Les Miserables, the police officer in there, Javert, is obsessed by tracking down Jean Valjean. And more often than not, he doesn't refer to him by name. He refers to him by his convict number, 24601. It's something that speaks volumes because it robs Jean Valjean of his dignity and his value as a person. It's very frustrating and irritating if people don't use our name or even bother to learn it. when I used to go over to Oxford to visit my brother, I was always known as, oh, this is David's sister. Or later on, when my niece and nephew were born, this is Angus and Anna's auntie, never by my own name. When people know us by name, it makes all the difference. It shows we matter. And the wonderful truth is that God, who is so great beyond anything we can put into words, God knows us by name. He knows and he loves us as individuals. We matter to him. He knows us intimately, our desires, our wishes, our fears, and our doubts. But I think it gets better than that. Because in Jesus' call to Lazarus, we see that God reaches out to us right where we are, whatever the situation is, even if it's a situation that's full of darkness, even if it's a situation where the noise of lots of other things is drowning out the way of God, even if we're trying to run away from the way of God, he reaches out to us. In Jesus' call to Lazarus, we see an example of the wonderful truth in Romans 8, verse 38, that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And then secondly, in verse 35, we're told Jesus wept. And twice we're told he was deeply moved. Deeply moved by the grief of those he saw around him and by the loss of Lazarus himself. Have you ever tried to tell somebody when you're feeling anxious or worried or got a problem? And you actually feel there's no real sympathy coming back. They don't actually get it. Those two simple words, Jesus wept, shows that Jesus understood. Jesus got it. It shows us that Jesus was fully human and that he felt and shared the grief and the pain and the loss just as we do. He experienced our experiences from the inside. And of course, on the cross, he endured the worst that the world could do. So in Jesus, we see that God is not distant and dispassionate. God is not far off. He's not watching what we're going through in a disinterested, detached way. When we hurt, when we feel despair, God is right there with us, hurting with our hurting, crying with our crying. God is right there in the middle of all those life-crushing situations that seem to deny his very existence. For Jean Valjean in Les Misérables, meeting a priest makes all the difference because the priest shows him the most amazing qualities of grace and forgiveness, Christ-like qualities. I expect you know that when he was destitute, he ended up on the doorstep of this priest's house. He's a bishop, actually. And the bishop takes him in and treats him with dignity. He feeds him, gives him a bed for the night. Jean Valjean's response was to actually whip off with his silver all the cups and the plates. And when he's brought back by the police, the bishop's response is amazing. Instead of wanting him hauled up for theft, he says, I gave him all those cups and plates. And in fact, he forgot something else that I'd given him. He forgot these candlesticks. Such forgiveness and generosity began to transform Jean Valjean and brought life and hope to his desperate situation, which is exactly what Jesus does. In verse 25, we had that wonderful statement, I am the resurrection and the life. To me, it's the most astonishing of all the I am sayings of Jesus. And put simply, it means that Jesus brings hope and transformation to the darkest situations. Jesus is the proof that the world can do its worst, but will not have the final say. We have the hope of a transformed life with God, one that cannot be destroyed. It's one we will enjoy to the full beyond this life, but one we can begin to experience now in the present. I expect you remember that a few years ago there was a Christian Aid campaign which began, "We believe in life before death." And to me that's a very Christ-like slogan, because when Jesus was carrying out his ministry on this earth, for many people meeting Jesus was a life-changing encounter. It brought them forgiveness, it brought them healing, it brought them hope. And that was especially true, of course, of Lazarus. Jesus' action of bringing Lazarus back to life is a powerful sign that life and hope can be brought to dark situations now, in the present. We don't have to wait for the life to come. And I find that amazingly good news for us all. But I think it's also a challenge. It challenges all of us who say we follow Jesus, because we too should be agents of hope in our relationships, in our witness, in our social action, both as individuals and as a community of believers. And I'd like to finish with an astonishing example I've come across of how that can work. It was from last year's Songs of Praise for Mothering Sunday, and they interviewed a lady called Mimi Asher. She lives on a South London estate, and she'd found herself in a very dark situation because her son had joined a local gang, and she said she felt that he was completely cut off from her. And she sunk into depression. But then somehow, through the grace of God, she found a way through. And the way she found, I found astonishing. She sold off most of her furniture. She brought a pool table. And she opened up her house to the members of the gang. She invited them in. She did their washing. She cooked their meals. She mothered them. In her acceptance and her trust and her love, the gang members met something that was very Christ-like. And lives were transformed. Her son is now a church leader, and the gang leader is now a church minister. So this morning, may we be encouraged. Encouraged by the good news of Jesus, the resurrection and the life that brings hope and light to dark places. But may we also be challenged. Challenged to live as God's people, sharing this good news in all we are, in all we say, and all we do. Amen.